And Ilias, you're back in the house. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me here, Iram.
Yeah, I missed you. I've been flying solo for like, 4 weeks or 4 episodes now?
Been challenging last month. Honestly, with work, study, don't have much time.
Yeah, so
nice podcasting, nice talking, but we're back now.
Yeah.
And yeah, good to be back. Good to be talk lots of new topics we're going to talk about.
Well, there's lots to talk about. Well, we've got always got the microphone free for you, so it's good to have you back.
Nice, I appreciate it.
Well, I guess today we could maybe recap on what we did or continue on from our community talk we did, I think, about 7 episodes ago. Community talk. So maybe we can call this community talk 2.
Mm-hmm.
And just talk generally about what's happening in our community, maybe tell some stories, offer the listeners some resources where we get a bit of information. Usually I do online English classes sometimes, and usually just as a warm-up to get discussions going, we talk about what's the latest news. And, you know, one guy's always talking about the soccer results, and then always the second or third, or sometimes the first person is always, oh, the latest COVID restrictions or the latest mandates or the latest...
Let's go real. What about the high renting prices here, too? I mean, they're exploding to the roof, and we're not that far away from Munich. I know if the listeners are international or national, but, you know, the Munich renting prices are in between one of the highest. And Nuremberg isn't like that famous city. I think it's 20th in all of Germany.
Yeah.
But still, it's going through the roof. And
transition town.
Yeah, yeah. For normal full-time employees, it's like friend like myself, it's hardly make it more and more difficult to find a good place. That's one topic. Let's talk about also like the new restrictions. What do we have? 1G, 2G, 3G? I can't remember now.
Yeah. Well, I think in Nuremberg at the moment, I don't really look at them. Someone, my wife just tells me. But like when I do, when you go to a restaurant or something like that, or any event, I think mostly it's wear a mask inside. You either got to be vaccinated or recovered.
You forgot you need to wear the mask probably, but because there are some crazy people and they're like mean and they show it to you if you just have a little bit on the nose or some dead. Crazy people.
People. I always have it under my nose so I can breathe through my nose. Nobody says anything. That's what I do. I need to breathe through my nose. Can't.
Isn't there some evidence that it's not healthy wearing it like long term?
Yeah,
for a couple of like 1 hour, because I'm seeing also like police officers in there. They have to wear it, although they're like only with one colleague.
Mm-hmm.
Me myself, when I go to university, I have to wear it within the building the whole time.
So hours wearing it.
Yeah, like example, yesterday it was about 4 hours, maybe with like a 15-minute break.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's, it's not that, it's average.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's a bit too long because when I was looking at I don't have the link now, but some researchers were putting a CO2 meter in there and within a minute or two, the level of CO2 within, I think it was a kid testing it out, the level of CO2 within 1 or 2 minutes was over very, very high above dangerous levels, they're saying.
Yeah, for the listeners to know, we were talking about the new FFP2 masks because it's a bit up and down. In summer, we can use the normal blue one,
surgical mask,
and now they're switching it to the more safe FFP2 mask, and they're safe in one way, but on the other way, it's much harder to breathe with that one. And
well, I've also seen virologists. Showing that the masks don't really protect from the virus. So it's much more dangerous. But I was actually listening to a podcast with Dr. Shiva and Dr. Jensen early on. I think it was in 2020. And they were talking about how their colleagues in dentistry were talking about how a lot of their patients are having problems now. So they're having an increase in acidity in the mouth. Mm. They're having a lot more gum disease and tooth disease now. And so they were just discussing, you know, this approach by mainstream medicine, which is more of the reductionist approach. So breaking everything into small pieces and then offering a medication for that problem. And he's arguing or discussing with Dr. Jensen is like, maybe we should have a systems approach. So they were just talking about the when lots of people are wearing masks, they were just having a discussion. Maybe lots of people wearing masks, their colleagues in dentistry are telling them, hey, we have increased in problems. Maybe this increase in gingivalis in the mouth from wearing masks is also potentially leading to Alzheimer's disease. And so I heard this and I'm like, oh, okay. So I thought I might double check this.
That's a health psychology, like physically, but also like mentally. This mask is causing problems. You need to wear them in public transportation, and you're not safe, and you think you're not safe, and you need to take them off, take them on, and it's just a pain.
Yeah,
it's just a pain.
Yeah, so that was also you can't even hear people talking. Like in the supermarket, you hear people saying, oh, "Excuse me, Schulligung."
I don't even hardly see them anymore. We're now in German winter. You have your scarf, you have your hat, and I'm only seeing some like eyes.
Yeah,
and that's it.
Yeah, and so
some have like guys have their hoodies on. So I don't mind. I mean, before you were thinking there are some gangbangers. You know, but now yeah,
everyone is potentially a bank robber. But actually, I have a student who's a few students. Some one's a psychologist. She's busy. Last year, full.
Can't imagine.
To cancel classes sometimes, but full on busy.
Lots of problems.
And one of my neighbors works at the hospital. Said the kids' psychological ward is full.
Ooh,
as ICU is not full, but the kids' psychological ward is full. Especially during lockdown. It's a bit better now, he said, but especially when it was lockdown, when everyone had to work from home on their computers.
It's hard. It's hard for kids. It's hard for really for the freedom of kids to be living with these restrictions now for the last 2 years.
Yeah.
That you know, in Germany, like doing sport, for example, you have to do this 2G.
Mm-hmm.
So meaning, for example, I've been vaccinated 2 times and... Now, my vaccination status isn't that like safe anymore. So I probably need to do like a third one. I'm not doing it. I don't want to do it now because I don't like feeling
confident.
That comfortable in that continuous of like, vaccination that way. And, so I have to do every time I do sport, do this like fast schnell test, we call it.
Antigen test, I think it is. Yeah.
It's easier, and that's the way I'm living right now. So, but I heard about I was listening to the radio today, and our Bundestag, they were talking about the Impfpflicht, and you know, we have a big coalition right now, and it's just about whether only the 50 years plus people must be vaccinated. It's not about need; they must be vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
Some say no, everyone must be vaccinated. Some think there was like one party who said no, and that's a bit crazy having these talks and having this forcing.
Well, you'd think that you'd have
life, yes.
Doctors' panels there discussing and then advising the politicians.
Heart.
Not the politicians debating and from their pharmaceutical company wants everyone vaccinated, of course.
Didn't they make enough money in the last 2 years?
I think with all the injuries now, they're going to have to start. Maybe there's a lot of legal cases. I know Rainer Fulmick is investigating and they find a lot of corruption and stuff like this. So but this takes a long time.
Yeah,
before everything gets uncovered.
I mean,
so people should look out for this, and also the censorship of people, especially with early treatment. There's many cases of doctors treating early and then having success.
Lots of misinformation right now, and I'm just curious why like Austria, Germany, France and the Netherlands are taking it that strict, whereas, for example, South Africa, Sweden, Denmark, Norwegian have this more like laissez-faire approach to it. And in my opinion, they're doing it well. I mean, they're letting each citizen own the decide whether he wants to be vaccinated or not, he wants to wear a mask or not. And I think that's
well, that would be the normal approach. Yeah. You would try and advise, normally a public health, a normal one, a normal public health reaction would be to advise, this is the situation, you can discuss with your doctor, normally. Normally you'd have a discuss with your doctor, your health status, mm-hmm. and then what is best for you. And then act on it.
That's why so it's not. I mean...
but we have a lot of hard lobbying. That's from, this is we have to balance this as a society.
In German, the average there were, I mean, we are very patient people, to be honest. It takes a lot of to make just Germans off. Angry. but I'm seeing more and more demonstrations now, and more this more traditional demonstration on Mondays.
Mm-hmm. Well, Nuremberg, there's every Monday a demonstration. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And in other cities I've seen around Germany as well, it's thousands, usually 5 to 15,000 in different smaller cities, less people, but in bigger cities, like in Nuremberg, I think maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, on a Sunday, there was 12,000 or more.
It's a lot of comparison for a city, it's for 500,000.
Yeah.
Lots of people. And people a little bit,
when you review the data, I think more and more people review the data and they're seeing also friends and family getting injured and they're saying, okay, is the solution better than the actual problem?
I mean, it's not about being vaccinated three times, third time, it's about this continuous approach. Like every, what I call it, three months, 6 months, you need to be vaccinated again. And that's a bit too much. Too much. I mean, we have like a health, we have a immune system, and I mean,
we have an immune system, but we also have early treatment, which is being squashed, which is this censorship.
What do you mean about that? The censorship.
So when doctors or virologists coming on and saying, "Oh, we are treating with this, no problem," then their videos are taken down from YouTube or Instagram or Twitter. So they're advising, hey, I'm treating with this. Like Selenko. Remember Dr. Selenko from New York? He said, oh, I'm treating with zinc. I'm doing hydroxychloroquine and some other chloroquine, I think it was. There's a few different treatments he's doing. Mm-hmm. Here's my 5-day treatment as soon as someone says they're sick. And then he published this. And then he was told by his community or some leader, hey, quieten down. Banned off Twitter, I think. So it's like, okay, are we about health? Are we getting better? Or is it just about, is there another agenda behind? Are there many genders behind? Because every month, people are waking up more and more and saying, hey, this doesn't right. But if he's trying to help people and he has success in his practice, why is that dangerous?
I mean, and we have to be clear, the people with a like weak immune system and like a corona or Omicron can hurt them pretty bad. I mean, that's a fact. The average people or the average young people can be treated with zinc therapy, can be treated just with
well, the early
home,
treatment protocols. There's
quarantine.
Many, everybody is accessing this now online. You can, if you search for it, you can find it. So it's the more people that
What should the listeners search for? How did you came up with that information?
I think it'll be. I just came in.
Maybe we can also put it on the content, like when we upload it.
Yeah, I can try and put a link there. Yeah. But if you look at the Zelenko protocol, Dr. Shankar Chetty, he's also his 8-day protocol, 8-day treatment. But there's also Dr. Peter McCulloch.
You know what? When I go to my doctor, he's a general practitioner. His treatment is, hey, you need to rest.
Oh, yeah.
Relax. And the funny thing is, like 90% of the time, he's right.
Okay.
It's the stress causing the sickness.
Yeah.
So when I released all that stress, all especially in Corona, mm-hmm. with this contact and with that, you're getting in this devil's loop.
Yeah.
That's causing the stress, and that's make me sometimes more sick, more ill than actually the situation itself. Because you ask yourself, oh, with whom am? Where am I? Okay, what? Where am I? And then where the other people is, and then you go in this playing in this thought games, and you're just. At the end, and then you're just getting crazy.
Well, here I found it. It's a book, Overcoming the COVID Darkness, how two doctors successfully treated 7,000 patients, Brian Tyson, MD, and George Farid, MD. You could probably even find their treatment protocol online somewhere mm-hmm. as well. They are just a few doctors who have successfully treated thousands of people mm-hmm. early treatment without any deaths from current medication. So... this has been repeated by a few different doctors around the world, and
great.
I listened to a few different podcasts and doctors' discussions mm-hmm. and forums. And also, I think Peter McCulloch also is treating people with early treatment, or he's advocating for that instead of the vaccines. Mm. And he's also saying that the vaccines are dangerous; it's like a bioweapon. So that's people have to be look at this, double check this information.
It's too new. You don't know about the content of this vaccine. It's too new for to know. And it's too.
Well, everybody thinks it's like a normal vaccine, but it's not the same as the old vaccines that everyone used to take as kids. And now they're seeing that they're seeing the problem with the spike protein. What they focused on. So this is.
So are you certain that after the third one that there will be like a fourth one?
Well, many
doctors. Fifth one?
Yeah, some people have already taken the fourth one. But if I have information from my friend who works at the hospital, she just told me a week or two ago that some of her other nurses in ER are having problems with their menstrual cycle, mm-hmm. and also some of them are having cardiac problems. And she even said even the head of the hospital, the head of the hospital, after the third booster, all these people had third mm-hmm. booster shots, and they had to be looked after in hospital.
Ooh.
So I'm not sure what the outcome was, but she just said, oh yeah, third booster is causing a little bit of a problem where she's working. She's working mm-hmm. at ER at one of the hospitals mm-hmm. here. So I think this is also some doctors I saw online. Well, there's a panel discussion where they're talking about these booster shots and showing that it's lowering the immune system. So somebody has been recovered, had COVID, and then they get the booster shot. It's not an advantage for the person; it's a disadvantage.
You're thinking about is it depending on the one you're getting, or is it in general?
No, they're just saying the more you get, the more it lowers your immune system because you're overloading your immune system with spike protein.
But shouldn't it have no effects on your immune system? Shouldn't it only be a vaccination that in case you got in contact with COVID, that this COVID virus can influence you that bad?
Yeah, well, that's what it's supposed to do. Or at the beginning, that's what Fauci and Gates said. They said it stops the virus in its tracks. But it's not the case now. Now they changed it. Oh, it reduces your symptoms and hospitalization. But then people say, hang on a sec. At the beginning, you said, if you get it, it stops in its tracks.
That's why we have it.
We even have a video of what he said. And Gates said as well, it stops the virus.
Mm.
It's on video. He gave a presentation. People went back and looked at the video and said, hang on a sec. Now you're saying, oh, it just reduces your... And the doctor's saying, oh, if that's all it does, then we have our current medication does that. The cheaper medication. So if you go into treatment protocols, you say if it's just to reduce your symptoms, we already have the medication for that. So there's a big, there's a lot of investigations going on at the moment. UK, a lot of lawyers are collecting all the evidence from around the world. So I'm sure many listeners, have come across this.
I don't want to really have this, I would say, this forcing of vaccination in that way in Germany.
Well, I think now you see more and more people every week on the streets.
It's a bit...
Because they're saying, hey, it shouldn't be forced.
Mm.
We, you know, when people start seeing that their friends and family start having problems, and even some people, like I know people that have died, and every week I hear about somebody who has been injured or died from the vaccine, but not from COVID. I've not, only my local doctor, he said, one or two ladies over 80, he sent to hospital and he hasn't heard back from them yet. So he's assuming that one or two of them died. But other than that...
In my family, I have, but they were elderly, and plus they had heart issues before. And that way, I mean, that's this situation. I mean, this current situation is also affecting family, affecting friends, affecting your like travel life.
Well, actually, my friend who lives in Denmark now, he wanted to fly back to Australia for Christmas. And his PCR test didn't arrive in time, so he wasn't allowed on the flight.
Man,
so it's like the whole Christmas was totally disrupted.
Yeah, for example, we're more like our family, our bigger family, like aunts and uncles. They're so scared they don't want to meet. They don't want to meet have family gatherings anymore. So they don't want. And it's really been like 2 years, and that's also affecting it mentally.
Mm-hmm.
So it's it makes this normal, you know, bonding of relationship harder. And I mean, I'm seeing it as a temporary situation.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's being temporary anymore. I mean,
when I start talking about passports and stuff like this, passports, codes, track and trace,
forcing of vaccination, it isn't a temporary situation anymore. And that's really something I don't want to really see or live in.
Well, I've seen a lot of videos about the Chinese credit system and also the World Economic Forum where they're talking about... have you seen some of these videos?
Yeah. You mean about this?
Yeah, where Klaus Schwab from the World Economic Forum, they meet in Davos every year in January or whatever, and they talk about the world, and you got... corporate CEOs, you have politicians all arriving there, you have all these top guys discussing how they're going to make money and create more wealth for themselves while acting as if they have the interests of the populations. So one thing I hear from these guys is like, you will own nothing and be happy. And he's written a book.
What do you mean by that?
COVID-19, The Great Reset. So he's written all these books at this time about...
But it's a crazy title, but it's you own nothing and you're really happy about that.
Well, it's as if they're taking advantage of this crisis. And also Klaus Schwab, from some documents I read, he really likes the Chinese model, which is this China social credit system. So I think...
Because you don't have to live in that system. He's living, it's an American.
Well, some people say he's attached... detached from reality, like from the normal. He lives in he's got a lot of property in Switzerland. He lives next door to the World Economic Forum, so he just walks
in a
across
very
it, like,
safe
a
place
bridge.
And very democratic place.
Yeah,
I mean, maybe he's too much. He's
tax haven, I think, as well.
Too much in democracy that he don't know that that's also different state systems exist.
Yeah.
But I don't want to live in the Chinese system.
Yeah, I think...
especially with this Chinese credit system where you can be... where you're just like a game number. And
well, I was at the playground with a father and we're looking for our kids because you have the playground and then there's like a big park and then there's like a bushed area. And then we went in there looking for them and then there's just rubbish everywhere. As if some teenagers had a party and they just left all their chip packets, drink packets.
Could be they don't
drinks.
Have any. They don't have any way to go.
Yeah, and also some. I think there's some antisocial kind of people or people that don't have a place to live.
Mm.
What do you call it? Abduklos. So homeless people sometimes as well, and also druggies. Because one of my friends did a cleanup there and found needles. But then I was after we did a podcast last time about community talk. You mentioned something about your friend saying about basic income. And then I found this document from Bond, a government department, where they're talking about They were researching how the Chinese credit system would be implemented, how it would go in Germany. So culturally, how it could be implemented. And I said this to the father.
Ooh,
I said, oh, maybe we need the Chinese credit system. Maybe that would help keep this place clean.
It's a dangerous system we're falling in.
And then he said, oh, no, that won't come to Germany. And I said, well, I saw documents where they're already researching it in Bonn, the government department.
I mean, it wouldn't be certainly like the Chinese one, but even similar to that, where you get like where you get points when
you're scanning barcodes to go in somewhere.
I'm going back to now. Yeah. I mean, I'm doing
yeah,
it.
Yeah. So we are chipping away slowly, getting into this. I think
it's really. I'm without my smartphone handy. I can go. I can go to because, for example, to work I need to be registered. In the university, mm-hmm. you need to see your
scan it. Oh, yeah, okay.
And you're really dependent on the smartphone.
Okay.
And that's a thing I really don't want to continue feeling with that thing because with the smartphone you have new dependencies like social media.
Yeah.
And texting and something like that. So
well, I'm more worried about the process of scanning your barcode to get into a restaurant, to go to university, to go to the gym.
But isn't that good in the long term? Because less paper and more.
Yeah, but when you talk about a Chinese social credit system, you're talking about rewarding good behavior. This is good. When I see the rubbish on the ground, I'm like, okay. Should we put cameras everywhere and then everyone has points? Starts with 1,000 points. So anyone who doesn't know the social credit system in one city in China, I think it's being rolled out everywhere the next few years. So it's not everywhere. It's going to be rolled out. So I think it's in one main province. It's all there. And yeah. I saw yesterday, oh, yeah, it's good. If somebody cleans or somebody mm-hmm. picks up a wallet and hands it in, he gets some plus points. But you start at 1,000, so you can get minus points.
Yes.
So if you get bad reviews on your business or something like this, you get minus. If you donate money towards a charity, you get plus points.
Yeah.
If you go to university, you get plus points.
I mean, I think we need a little bit separate this paying digitally, which, I mean, countries like Sweden, Denmark, Norwegian, they're having it and they're living in that system quite well. And some restaurants and some coffees, they even don't take any more cash.
That's probably why they don't have that many mandates because they're already digital and thing.
But
this could be the hidden agenda behind it.
But connecting it with social control, it's a whole new ballgame. And I don't see Sweden going that way because they're handling the COVID situation quite well and the people are in their way happy. I mean, I have a family and friends there and
mm-hmm.
they still do something. They still go out and they're some wear masks, some not. In my big family, some are more scared, some not. And some have COVID, some had it and some cured. But they seem to live their normal lives. In yeah. Germany, it's I'm seeing it as it's more and more like the main situation, and you're waiting for it to just end. But the ending is like farther and farther. Like there's no light at the end of the tunnel anymore.
Well, I think now most people say now is a good time to end this mandates and end this mask and stuff.
Yeah, like
and end the vaccine because more and more people are seeing the negative effects now.
Mm.
At the beginning, they were like, oh, yeah. I read a study from the UK where it said, I think some German guy was commenting on the statistics from the UK. He was saying that during the vaccination period, there was a large spike in unvaccinated. And the statisticians were like, what is this? Why during a vaccination campaign do unvaccinated increase in deaths? And then they were comparing and looking and then they were saying, yeah, okay. So what's the policy? The policy is within 2 weeks of being vaccinated, you are considered unvaccinated. So this policy is trying to create the narrative. And then they say, oh, too many unvaccinated are dying. You need to get vaccinated to protect yourself. So this is the document statistics that I saw that they're looking at this. Okay, the policy is, but normally I think if you die within 30 days of being vaccinated, this would be grounds for investigating. From what I'm reading from different doctors around the world, they're commenting, they're looking, reviewing the statistics, and they're saying, hey, so I think wherever you are around the world, I think you should consider this. And now I think the Bundestag was saying, like, I'm recovered from COVID, and they're saying, oh, it's only worth 3 months now, not 6 months. But then in the Bundestag, they said, oh, for politicians, it's 6 months. My wife just told me before, and I said, hang on a sec. So the politicians, it's 6 months. For non-politicians, your Guineasan status, your 2G status is only 3 months. And I said, do they show any scientific research that they've done on this, that they can prove that?
Enough is enough.
If you've, So, but anyway, back to Klaus Schwab. There's a lot of videos that he does, and you can pick up the tone of his voice and also the topics that he's, that's why I'm thinking there's like a connection to like the Chinese social credit system and pushing the people. Because now in Nuremberg, if you go to the football stadium, it's digital.
Again?
You pay with a code, or you buy everything online and you just have your code and you scan it.
For example,
you can't pay cash anymore.
Yeah, for example, in the public baths, I need to buy a ticket online, and then of course it's limited numbers who get in or not, and then I need to make a test.
Mm-hmm.
That's a second time, and then I can enter. But
okay.
It's a bit more bureaucracy.
Yeah. Anyway, I just want to have a look at this. I got an article here where somebody was reviewing Klaus Schwab's book about the fourth industrial revolution. So I just wanted to have a look here. Schwab's idea, he's advocating for the departure from neoliberalism towards a kind of communist super nanny state. So greenwashed as bait for upstanding citizens. So every citizen would, of course, be unfree and wholly transparent, but well-fed and digital distractions by the state in exchange for data, the oil of the future.
So it is. It's true. That's true. That the data is the oil of the future.
So this reviewer is saying Klaus Schwab's dream is the establishment of a biometric technocratic surveillance state on the Chinese model.
That's a crazy guy, eh?
Yeah. Well, he says this in videos.
That's a guy like living in the poorest democracy, but wants to live.
Some
kind of communism.
As long as he's at the top and all his friends are the owners, and then we are the renters. That's why the statement, you'll own nothing and be happy, that's the mindset that the global elite, or Klaus Schwab, I would consider him a global elite. He organizes this forum since the 70s and invites politicians. This is elite meeting.
I hope.
And then they want to own all the assets. And then just rent. We're just renters. When we die, the next person takes over whatever we're renting.
I hope our
whatever.
Politicians prevail cooler heads. No, that's...
Yeah. So anyway, I just wanted to read that. I think that was... he's also the author of the COVID-19, The Great Reset. So he's already talking about how we can reset the economy from the neoliberalism towards the communist super state, super nanny state. So it goes on to talk a little bit about, it reviews every chapter of the book. Yeah, there's also, in the same article, they're also talking about the lobbyists for the COVID-19 task force in Germany.
Mm.
I think, did you ever look at the panic paper in Germany?
No.
I think it was the Minister of Interior asked for a paper like they had in England, where some statistician said, I think it was Ferguson. He said, oh, we're going to have 20 million deaths. We need to do this and lockdown. And everyone panicked and copied. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. We need to copy. So we in Germany, I think Seehofer asked, I also want something like this. But it's interesting when you look at the people on the list of who it was. It's like a 17-page document. It had 8 members that they called the COVID-19 Task Force.
Mm-hmm.
And they were asked on March 18th by Horst Seehofer. So the authors, I'm trying to look at the... So they're saying... So the author is saying it's impossible to clearly see what epidemiological skills that the authors had of the paper. So they were brought together. It's a public health emergency. This reviewer is looking at the academic backgrounds.
Hmm.
So he's saying there was no epidemiologist. There was no government virologist. But there was 5 economists, a socialist or sociologist, a political scientist and a linguist. And the last 2 that were familiar with China. So linked to China was a linguist and a political scientist who studied and taught at a Chinese university.
Mm.
So this guy reviewing this panic paper and who was involved and...
But I guess it wasn't that famous. So to...
One guy has a blog and he's based in Switzerland.
Again.
So we have this connection here. So if you have a look at this...
Share it at the...
Yeah, I can put it maybe in the link.
At a small content...
I think it's called...
Small content list.
Yeah, for we can put it down there because there's a lot of information in the article. So it talks about the different people and you can have a look and look at the dates and look at their connections. So I think that's important. Yeah. Well, just before we wrap up, I just wanted to finish off this talk about the Alzheimer's. So I saw that podcast with Dr. Jensen and Dr. Shiva. Then I started looking at Alzheimer's disease and I found an Australian researcher who was researching it called Bryce Vissel. And he's from the University of Technology, Sydney in Australia. And he was saying that all the research that has been done, there's a few researchers were saying that maybe we have it wrong. Maybe what we think is causing Alzheimer's is not. Maybe it is this increase in bacteria in the mouth, which is then affecting the... So he's going back to mask wearing.
Because of the masks.
So because of the increase in bacteria and acidity in the mouth causing gum disease, and then that bacteria could be... So he's researching this bacteria, if I got that right. But I can also link this... his name is Bryce Vissel.
Bryce Vissel.
Yeah.
I think it's for short from my own experience wearing this FFP2 mask.
Yeah.
It's a bad, especially you get the breath, and plus it's wearing it long term. It's a bit, you're feeling a bit dizziness. It's a bit not a...
Well, here I just got a little thing. Multiple teams have been researching P. gingivalis, the main bacterium involved in gum disease, which is known risk factor for Alzheimer's. So far, teams have found that P. gingivalis invades and inflames brain regions affected by Alzheimer's, that gum infections can worsen symptoms in mice genetically. Mice genetically engineered to have Alzheimer's, and that it can cause Alzheimer's-like brain inflammation, neural damage, and amyloid plaques in healthy mice. So that's an article about this, which I think is important to understand and to have a look at, and to challenge, I think.
Mm.
So as we conclude, getting back to your question, what can we do? Well, it's recommended that people speak with a doctor. Have a look at the information, the data coming out now. Now we see that the mask wearing is probably not recommended. It's probably coming towards the end of the pandemic. They say virologists and doctors are saying this is statisticians are saying we should stop the vaccine.
If you wear it, make sure you take it off and have enough breaks.
Yeah, well, that's the problem, is it? People just keep wearing it, put it in their pocket, and then they wear it again.
Forget about it. I mean, take out between classes or in the office, just between tasks, go out in the fresh air and take some, let's say, kind of the meditation, the Wim Hof breathing exercise, some deep breaths.
Well, when you go to a restaurant, you sit down, you take the mask off, don't you?
Yes, yes.
So in the lecture hall, if you sit every second seat or leave two seats between each person.
Doesn't care.
You still keep it on.
Doesn't care. Doesn't like every city or state institution.
Yeah.
As soon as you enter the premises.
Yeah.
You have to continue wearing it.
Okay.
It's crazy. It doesn't. But yeah.
Yeah. Well, if you look into this mask thing, it's like it's proven not to be virologist. I think Biram, someone, he was showing that the mask doesn't prevent the virus spreading. It also increases the CO2, so it's not recommended. Pretty much everything that they're doing is not recommended by professionals. And then they get deleted off all these platforms when they're trying to... They even say, can I have a debate with the so-called public health professionals?
Sorry, I forgot. I didn't wear it for 5 hours. I forgot to wear it for 6 hours because I forgot the transportation. Still, yeah.
Ah, yeah. Okay,
yeah, forget about
the,
it. Yeah.
The bus.
Yeah, bus, train. Yeah.
You know, I'm probably lucky that I just ride my bike. You have a long way to go, but yeah. I didn't even buy a mask.
Yeah. So that's.
I just, you know, those winter, you just have a little scarf around your neck.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just put that over my nose and I don't go anywhere where I have to wear a mask. So, and I do online, a lot of online stuff. And,
yes, of course.
And try and do everything outside.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm outside in a group, doesn't matter. I don't need to wear it.
It's a way.
But yeah, I think the future is permaculture, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Permaculture, more community, more connection. I think with this COVID, everyone is in lockdown. And the thing is, you should be scared of the other people.
Yeah. I'm like, no. You can be gathering.
Yeah.
That easily, you know, people are scared. I heard about people like my niece got like a birthday party and family in Munich couldn't go. We're afraid.
Okay.
You know, people are afraid getting sick. So that's a bit like, you know, a little bit like a standstill the last 2 years. So,
well, my view is that these should be challenged because the corporations are pushing their agenda. But we should also, after we look at the data and look at people and look at most people who have got COVID now that I know and they have recovered. No one's been to hospital that I know. So I think the time now is that people also have to push back. We need a balance in society. It can't just be politicians who are influenced by corporations pushing an agenda. And the community also has to say, oh, hang on a minute.
Mm-hmm.
We need balance here. This has been 2 years now. The evidence is showing that the narrative that vaccines is the way out is actually causing more trouble. So it has to be reviewed.
Mm.
So we have to also question this mask and review. And now in kindergartens, they want people tested, kids tested before it wasn't.
We need to really question before, the situations.
I remember when my son wanted a pretzel and I said, nah, I don't have a mask. I'm not going into the bakery.
Yeah.
He said, oh, I'll go in. So I give him the money and he goes into the bakery. So here we are. They're telling us we've got the deadliest virus ever. And this is now they want to try and do all these things. Now you have the France president or what do you call it in France? The president?
It's a president.
President Macron. Yeah, his. I just did his mandates to piss off the unvaccinated.
Oh,
so with comments like this. And then they try to storm the one parliamentary building.
You don't make any more new voters.
No.
With that.
So I think there's an agenda. Some people think there is. Some people think there's just a virus. But I think from all the evidence, when a prime minister or premier of a country says, I just wanted to piss off the unvaccinated, then there has to be an agenda behind it.
Or they're not, I think, also,
because you can't just say I want to piss off the vaccinated.
The politicians, they're getting much different advices, and they're also like a little bit, I think, stressed.
Well, remember the politicians in Germany? They were two or three of them were receiving money for mask mandates. So before everyone just covered their mouth with any mask that they had, they made it at home, self-made, and then came in the mandates for FFP2. And then two or three politicians in different states received a commission on each mask sold. And then after this got found out, then everyone was like, ah. Oh. And then they got reallocated somewhere else.
The new legislation isn't better.
I think this was one political party, and after the election, they lost. And then they had to, in one state, they lost total confidence in the people, and they got voted out. So
we'll see. We'll see how it. Yeah, let's say in 3 months the community talk 3, yeah. And let's see how the ideas or how our talks continue, and we'll see how the situation also continues.
So a question to you guys who are listening, how's everything going where you are? Because I see many friends around the world, they have different mm-hmm. experiences. Like when I talk to friends in the US, they say, oh, this is very dangerous, this vaccine. And a lot of people are being killed. And mm-hmm. in the UK, a lot of people are saying, hey, I have to get a court order, or mm-hmm. they're stopping me from going to visit my parents in their old home. They're mm-hmm. shutting it down and mm-hmm. locking it down, that you can't see them. And some of them mm-hmm. are saying, hey, they're drugging them with this drug. I can't remember what it is. But what's your experience around the world? Do you have access to this information where doctors and virologists around the world are saying that every time you take a shot that it's weakening your immune system?
It's especially how you're handling the situation. You know, for some it's, I'm seeing it there's no difference.
Do you see a danger in the centralization of control? Because in one of my classes, a few of my different classes, I asked them, has there been, like last year, has there been a COVID case in your school? Mm. And they said no. And I said, so you're also locked down? And they said yes. So I think there's a danger in this centralized control, and one person in the centralized office in Berlin can say, oh, we need a lockdown. It should be, I think as a society, we should be looking more towards decentralized, localized, local areas. Even though we're living in a globalized world, I think it's important that we look out for the dangers of this centralized power and control. Because when you start talking to different people in the community and a school is shut down, they have no COVID cases just because in another area, or they want to suit the narrative or scare people or think that this is the best way, then yeah, I think we should review this, what's happening, and we should also challenge. So with that, something to think about this weekend.
Yeah.
Alrighty, guys. So hopefully we'll have better news next time we chat. Yeah, community talk 3.0.
Alrighty. And make sure maybe to contact your locally some groups. And if you're tired of the situation in your community, you can also attend demonstrations.
Yeah, there's a lot of community being built in these demonstrations. I think the governments are getting scared. They're calling them right-wingers and Nazis or gathering. Some guy was giving a news conference and saying there's Nazis, and then one protester came and said, I heard you say there's Nazis here. Could you please show me them? We don't want them here either. Mm. Come and show me. He couldn't go and show them. He's just saying that. This is just propaganda. This is what I worry about, especially in Germany. We had propaganda here before, which led to a disastrous situation, and then now we have also propaganda in the media.
There's much information, so make sure you filter the information. Go out, go demonstrate, and also
build community.
Purchase something. Support your local community. Don't try to consume too much online or too much big.
Well, I don't even look at the numbers anymore.
Just focus and live your life. Alrighty, with that. See you next episode.
Alrighty, catch you later. We'll be right back.